What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet, presented by Off the Glass. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey?
Merry Christmas Eve, Nick Fay. How you doing, man? I'm doing good. Christmas shopping's done, hanging out. It's been nice, no snow. My kind of winter.
Yes, getting into the holiday season. Happy holidays to all of our listeners. Whatever you celebrate, make sure you spend some time with family and friends. Hope everything goes well for you guys. Very excited to talk hoops, as always. Obviously, we got a great slate on Christmas every single year. But let's get right into it, Corey. Number one on the wish list, Boston Celtics. What do they want from Santa or whatever holiday they're celebrating?
Now, I just want to clarify. Are we talking about like a player or just what the
anything.
Team is?
Could be anything.
Okay.
It could be funny. It could be a player. It could be something team-related, whatever you want.
Okay. For the Celtics, I think for their wish list this year, it's going to be finding out their identity. Because I still think, even though we've seen glimpses of them kind of playing at top, you know, they beat the Bulls by 50, then they got some bad losses. For them, I think it's just the loss against the Suns a couple nights ago was pretty bad. I think for them, it's just finding an identity. Who is this team? Who are their go-to scorers? How can they get the ball moves? I still think, you know, in late December that this team doesn't know who they are yet with all these added pieces.
Yeah, I'm pretty similar to you with what they need. I think they need more cohesion. They need more practice. They need more reps to just kind of get everything in sync because they just seem so out of rhythm and they don't really know what's going on with all these great players. Do you expect them to get this? Do you expect them to kind of find the rhythm by the end of the season, or it's going to be a struggle all year?
I think they're way too talented, and I have way too much faith in Brad Stevens as a head coach to think this is a year-long struggle. Obviously, they've lost three in a row right now, so this is definitely going back towards a low period for them. But I still think you look at this roster, there's so much talent. I wouldn't be shocked if they made a smaller move. I think Terry Rozier is probably a guy we see move at some point this year. But I think this is going to be a team that figures it out. There's just too much talent on this roster.
Yeah, talking trade. So do you think it's likely they make a trade? Do you think, you know, maybe Terry Rozier, there's been some talk about possibly Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward. Do you think they move just a smaller piece, bigger piece? What do you think happens?
Well, I think if a bigger piece, let's say, you know, hypothetically, Anthony Davis becomes available, the Celtics will go all in.
I think, and just to give a quick little info nugget, they can't technically make a trade for Anthony Davis during the season because of Kyrie's contract and his contract. So if they were to make a move for Anthony Davis, it wouldn't be able to happen until the offseason.
Well, there you go. So really, I don't see any star-studded move they make. But I think this is the team that's going to make a move because Terry Rozier no matter how you swing it, it's going to walk the end of the season. There's no way they can keep him. So you're not going to keep a guy like Terry Rozier, who had such an incredible playoff run last year, and not get anything back in return. So I think, especially Danny Ainge, he knows that. He's been holding on to Terry Rozier this entire time. So I just think it's likely he gets moved. Do they move a Jaylen Brown? I don't think so. I still think Jaylen Brown's got a lot of upside. And if you're not getting a star who they can't get, like Anthony Davis, then I think you don't want to give any of those big pieces up or young pieces up.
Yeah, that's a great point about Rozier, and he could be a name that's on the wish list for a couple other teams. Moving on to my squad, Brooklyn Nets, what are they wishing for?
I think what they're looking for is health. You know, they've had some injuries over the course of this year. I know your guy, Caris LeVert, has been out with that ankle injury, out of the boot, luckily, and coming back soon. But I think injuries has been the one thing that's kind of dampened your guy's season. So for me, it's them getting healthy.
Yeah, 100%. On my list, I have Caris LeVert back 100%. You know, no injury, just back to playing at the level he was. I think that'd be ideal for them and really push him to another level offensively and defensively. Toronto Raptors, what are they looking for?
I don't know really what they're looking for because I think this team is pretty set. I think their wish list would probably be some sort of clarification or knowledge on what Kawhi Leonard wants to do in the future. I think that's probably their Christmas list. Wanting to know if Kawhi is content with a 25-10 record at this point, if he can see himself in Toronto long-term. Their wish list is everything involving Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, what I have is Kawhi enjoying every single moment in Toronto and just everything going really perfect for them, spending some time with Drake maybe and just, you know, really buying into what they have.
We're hitting this pretty, like, spot on. We're 3-for-3 so far, just so you
know. Yeah. Maybe this next one will change it up, but I'm not sure. New York Knicks.
The New York Knicks, what are they wishing for? I mean, shout out to Kevin Knox, first off. He deserves to be now in the top five rookie list or however you want to swing it with a rookie so far this year. He's been incredible the month of December, really starting to find his role in New York. I think for the Knicks, what you're wishing for is simply the fact that you want to keep seeing the young guys like Kevin Knox, Dotson, Ntilikina, even though you know he's fallen out of the rotation a little bit, Moutier. You want to see these young guys continue to play well, Mitchell Robinson. So I think for the wish list, you want to keep seeing this kind of hard, tough play from the Knicks while Porzingis is eyeing a February return, I believe they were talking about, or late
February. Reevaluated in February.
Reevaluated, okay. I mean, hopefully he doesn't come back, realistically. You want to play for Zion. But I think for them right now, you just want to keep seeing these young guys thrive. Because the Knicks really, they play every team tough. They've been in a lot of ball games this year. I know the record doesn't really show that. But they're a tough, bad team, as we've mentioned in the past.
Yeah, exactly what they want to do. They want to play hard, develop these young guys, and still lose games and end up with that number one pick in draft time and draft him. And that'll kind of change the franchise and give you some more star power, even if they were to miss out on free agency this year.
Which I think, too, it came out today, too, that they've shifted their focus on free agency from not this upcoming offseason to the following offseason. So it even looks like the Knicks themselves are starting to believe in their young talent. They want to bring back Porzingis and see what they have before going, big fish hunting or big game hunting this offseason.
Yeah, they're better able to, understand what they actually have in-house before making a move for some of the outer house players, which makes a lot of sense and no need to rush the process. They've been kind of rebuilding, but over different regimes, it's always going to be a little different. But ending off the Atlantic Division, the Philadelphia 76ers.
I think for them, it's still going to be, for me, perimeter shooting. I do like what the Sixers have. I'm not really worried about – I know there's been some talk between the Butler and Embiid thing. You know, Embiid was kind of upset recently saying that he doesn't like how he's been used in the offense. Jimmy Butler has come. But I think this team is really talented. But I think they need three-point shooting. Who are they looking at for a three-point shooter? I really don't have a guy in mind. But I think that's the one thing they could desperately use is just more three-point shooting, because really it's just J.J. Redick and Landry Schmidt, who's been fantastic, by the way, as well. A shout-out to Pete Toll for calling that on the preview series. But I think for them, they still need more shooting.
Yeah, I think for the Sixers, maybe not even just shooting, but overall just bench help. You know, the role players, last year they were great in the buyout market with Marco Bellinelli, Ersan Ilyasova. You know, similar thing this year. Get some veterans, stabilize that bench, add some guys that can really help you come playoff time. Chicago Bulls.
I think on their wish list, it's getting rid of Jabari Parker. That's the first thing I have, is getting him off the books, moving that money. Who knows what they get in return for him, but they'll probably get maybe a second-round pick or some sort of shit value, because you're not going to get much value, for being honest. And also, I think on the wish list, more so maybe not for the Bulls, but for Bull fans, is just seeing a team that plays some sort of form of defense. Doesn't even have to be great defense, just something that shows they care out there. And then from the Bulls' standpoint, probably kind of figuring out which one of these young guys you can actually keep going forward. Because they got a lot of young guys, and it really feels like half of these young guys you're not going to want on your team in the next 2 years.
Yeah, kind of establishing who's here to stay. I think for the Bulls, they just want peace. You know, last year they had Mirotić and Bobby Portis fight. This year, the players going against a new coach, Boylan. So they just want everybody kind of get along for the rest of the season. Cleveland Cavaliers.
Wish list. Get rid of Kevin Love's contract. First off, that's do everything you can to put this into an official rebuilding time frame. Obviously, they wanted to compete early. That failed miserably. So I think Kevin Love is on the top of their wish list to move. We've mentioned it numerous times in the outlet. It's not going to be easy to get that contract off the books. And then alongside of that, we probably would look at J.R. Smith as another guy that they're looking to move, only because he's sitting on the books and not playing.
Yeah, pretty similar. I just have find more trades. You know, find more trades for draft picks and assets. That could be J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, Rodney Hood. You know, all those guys that you're not looking to keep long term. Try to get some value to start this rebuild. Start with a lot of draft picks. Get things going. What about your Pacers?
For my Pacers, it's, again, for me, it's bench for them. And I don't want to say that my wish is they trade Tyreek Evans. My hope would be that Tyreek Evans starts to play like the guy we saw last year in Memphis. We just really haven't gotten that. So my wish is really that Tyreek Evans starts to play worth the $12 million he's being paid. But I think I'm also wishing that they add some sort of bench help. Maybe even go after a point guard. Darren Collison's expiring, and I do like Darren Collison, but again, I think he's the one like odd man out. If you're looking to add a piece to make the team better, Darren Collison's probably going to be the guy that you get rid of. I would love the Pacers, for example, to go after a guy like Terry Rozier, honestly. I think he has a lot more upside as a point guard than a guy like Darren Collison. To me, it's just upping the talent because we've seen since November 27th, Miles Turner has been fantastic. Sabonis has been really solid as the sixth man, and Oladipo coming back from injury. Unfortunately for your Nets and you, he found some late game rhythm finally against you guys Friday night. But otherwise, he's been
trying to reminding me. Improve.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
but no, I think, you know, honestly, I think the Pacers, if we're talking wish list, I think ideally they'd like to add another star. Somebody who could take the pressure off Oladipo, because if, you know, you mentioned that game, if Oladipo doesn't step up, they probably blow that game on the road. So having somebody else when, you know, there's actually other good defenders out there that could stop him, you know, adding a Bradley Beal, adding a Kemba Walker, I think it would be a great opportunity for them because, you know, in free agency, Indiana is not the hottest market. So they're not going to necessarily sign the big names, but they bring somebody in trade wise, they'll be able to re-sign him.
Who could you see them moving though? I don't know if you put any like thought behind it. Cause like,
well, you mentioned already all the expiring contracts. So I think they could move, you know, the contracts and then they would have to add picks. It depends on how desperate the teams are because the Pacers don't necessarily have a ton of young pieces that they're looking to get rid of. So I think it would have to be, you know, maybe two first round picks if you're talking about adding an all-star.
Right. And Holiday, the youngest Holiday brother, he's actually, as a rookie, he's played some solid minutes. So he probably Aaron Holiday.
Yeah,
probably has some solid value, but again, the Pacers don't have a ton of young assets, as you just mentioned.
Yeah, and I, from what I've seen, it seems like they actually like Holiday, so I don't know if they'd look to move him unless it meant getting one of these guys. But I think they'd be a team to keep an eye on just because of all the expirings, and they have players on the team that are expiring that actually have value. So it's not like the guys they're trying to get rid of are bad guys that, you know, don't play at all.
Yeah, and also it'd be good to note that Kevin Pritchard has been known for being one of the most active GMs. During the trade deadline. Actually, when Larry Bird was the GM, Pritchard was the assistant to Larry Bird. Pritchard was bringing him trades, I guess, all the time near the deadline, but Larry Bird just never pulled the trigger. So who knows? If Pritchard thinks his team can really compete, then I wouldn't be shocked to see him make a move.
I mean, I think one more star to the team, they're definitely a contender in the East and have a chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals if they get one of these big names.
I would certainly love it.
Yeah, I mean, they're just right there. So obviously we talked about them enough. Moving on to the Milwaukee Bucks, what do they want?
I mean, for me, I don't have any exact wish for them as in talent-wise. For me, I just think stay healthy. Keep figuring out the Budenholzer system. Antetokounmpo wasn't great last night. But for them, I think it's just figuring themselves out farther and getting more and more chemistry. I think this team is pretty much locked into what they got. I don't see them making any more moves, really. I think the getting rid of Dellavedova and Henson was more so for the offseason. You know, trying to re-sign some of these guys who they have to, who are expiring. So I think for them, they're pretty much going to stand pat. But for me, it's just continue to figure who you guys are and your identity and keep balling because they've been one of the best stories so far this year.
Yeah, I think another team that'll be active in the buyout market, something to keep an eye on. For me, I think Antetokounmpo just developing a jump shot, even if it's a mid-range jump shot, something a little bit more consistent. And now you're just taking the team to an entirely new level. Obviously, that's a big gift to ask for.
Yeah. But it's one of those things, too, where like every time he hits a jump shot, you always see a tweet that says, man, if he only hits this consistently.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I'm not saying the three-point shot, that's going to take some time, but I think more consistency from mid-range, just something where it's keeping the defense a little bit more honest, even if it's like that weird pull-up teardrop Kevin Durant shot he used to shoot a lot, doesn't shoot as much anymore, but just because he's so lengthy, it's almost like guiding the ball to the rim.
Yeah.
Detroit Pistons.
A team that's been really struggling. 2 wins in their last 10 games. For me, I think it's got to be offense. It's got to be them adding someone who can help get a bucket. I know Reggie Bullock's played decent this last stretch, but you can just see their offense struggles at times. They need improvement. I'm not really sure who it is. I think Melo could be an option on the buyout market. Or maybe even like a low-grade trade, depending on how the Rockets handle that. Maybe even they try to move Reggie Jackson. I just don't know who would want Reggie Jackson with that contract and how he plays at this point in time. But for the Pistons, it's got to be adding some offense because they just lack it.
Yeah, I think also a combination of being healthy. You know, Bullock's missed a lot of time. Luke Kennard's been out for a while. Getting everybody fully in sync, getting, you know, the offense moving would really help this team because they have some decent pieces, but if one guy's banged up, it kind of throws the whole team off.
Yeah.
Charlotte Hornets.
Bring in some, again, another team. Well, this is like a two-parter. For one, it's bringing some talent, but two, it's also just a show Kemba Walker why he should stay. So it's a two birds, one stone scenario, because Kemba Walker, who has, it hasn't really been talked about. And I've noticed it. He's come back down to earth a little bit, but it doesn't get talked about on Twitter. He's not in the MVP race anymore. I can officially say that he's not in my top five. He was like 2 weeks ago, probably. But for me, I think it's trying to show Kemba why he should stay in Charlotte and adding some sort of talent. Trying to get out from underneath that Nicholas Batum contract would probably be the ideal scenario.
Impossible.
Definitely impossible. but those would probably be my three things. Move Nicholas Batum, add some talent, and convince Kemba Walker that Charlotte is his home in the future.
Yeah, and this is for me similar to the Pacers one. For a couple of teams that have similar wishes, you know, I think they just need to add another star or another big piece to really convince Kemba that they can stay and that they're not actually even fighting for a playoff spot. They're a team that's kind of respected as being in the playoffs.
Yeah. It would do wonders, especially for that city in general, which is hosting the All-Star game this weekend or this year too.
Yeah. I was like, All-Star weekend? No. Miami Heat.
For me, I just think it's time to start rebuilding. You know, we've mentioned this on the last show when we found out Goran Dragic is going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. You know, they got some decent young pieces, but they got a lot of older guys, a lot of vets, which doesn't really make sense with where they are, the timeline of the league. So for me, I think the wish list is more so for the fans, but that would be that Miami Heat finally buy into a rebuild.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Since the Dragic injury, their four-game winning streak, I think it's just kind of finding the direction because they do have a mix of, you know, older veterans with younger guys because they do have some, you know, decent young pieces in Richardson, Winslow, Adebayo, you know, just getting some more young pieces in there and kind of deciding what they're doing going forward. Like, they've been caught in this in-between pretty much since LeBron left. It's like, all right, make a decision on what's next for the franchise.
Yeah, and if there's any way, move Hassan Whiteside, but again, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, it very unlikely. I mean, he has played a little bit better lately, so that does help, but that contract, no one's really trying to bring that in. Yeah.
And we know damn well when it comes to the playoffs, he has very little value because late in game, you're just not going to be able to play him probably.
Exactly, and he had an opportunity to really shine last year against Philadelphia when Embiid missed the first few games of that series. He did not. So, Washington Wizards.
All right, so there's two sides of this wish list for me. The one wish list would be that the addition of Trevor Ariza helps this team get back on track. They use the talent they have. This team, if we're talking about star power, does have decent star power. You got John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter Jr. for what he is and isn't at times. He's still kind of like the Kevin Love for the Wizards, if you will. Would be that they figure it out. They start making moves. They start moving up in the standings. They become a playoff team again. And then the other wish list would be that, again, they just give it up. You know, they got these three guys, Wall, Beal, and Porter Jr. making big-time money. They really have no bench. Why not move these guys and again start rebuilding?
Yeah, it's a really interesting spot. I think if you're looking at it actually from non-Wizard perspective, you would think it would just make the most sense to trade these guys and move forward. But the way that they're doing the organization, the front office, seems like they want to compete. So maybe it's trying to get everyone going. But ideally for myself personally, if I was a fan, I would wish for them to just move the players, get the assets, and just go in another direction. Because as much as even if they do get it going, we've seen in the past this duo isn't good enough to get them to the Eastern Conference Finals or yet, you know, the finals.
Yeah, and it's still – you know, I know that they had their issues in the past, but I still don't really think Wall and Beal like each other that much.
Even if they don't like it, I don't even know if it's as much as they don't like each other or as much as their styles on the floor just don't complement each other.
Right. I think that's probably a better way to put it. I just don't think they're the right tandem.
Yeah, and we saw Bradley Beal have an excellent triple-double last night. I think he had 35, like 15 or 16 assists and like 11 rebounds. So obviously he played in triple overtime, but still I think – they'd be better off in different situations. Not to say that I think they hate each other, but I think they'd be better off playing in different places.
Exactly. And also, you know, for whatever it's worth, Otto Porter Jr. has looked better when it's been, you know, either Beal out or Wall out. He seems to play better when there's not so many guys ahead of him in the pecking order.
Yeah, he's not naturally aggressive. So when he's kind of almost forced to take more shots, I think it helps him get in rhythm a little bit more, because we know he's a talented guy. He just needs to kind of get going. He needs someone to really get him going. So, but on to the Orlando Magic.
Again, it would probably be for me fire selling, getting rid of Vucevic, getting rid of Jonathan Simmons, Terrence Ross, maybe even DJ Augustine. You got some young guys who haven't really been playing a lot. Thank you, Steve Clifford, for doing what you do best and not really giving rookies a chance to really flourish in a situation where they probably should be playing as much as they can, because you're not playing for anything. Little rant there. but I think for them, it's just selling off some of these guys. Evan Fournier would be another guy I almost forgot to mention. Bringing some young pieces. This is a decently high, you know, the top five picks of this upcoming draft are going to be really good players. I think most of them are probably key rotational players for any team wherever they go. Orlando's not in that part of the standings right now, and I think you should be trying to do everything you can to let the young guys play and get back to the bottom of the East.
I don't necessarily mind them competing as much, but I think the major wish list for them is finding a young point guard, you know, complement Isaac, Bamba, and Gordon moving forward. You know, they have, you know, mentioned DJ Augustine, but they don't have necessarily any young stars in this team. Brought up Terry Rozier before. This could be a location for him to end up where he could really shine, have an opportunity to get his full potential.
I could see that. I mean, we've mentioned that, you know, even before in the preview. The point guard situation is certainly something the Magic and as we'll talk about the Suns in the future, those are two teams that definitely need point guards. So I completely agree. Terry Rozier, maybe even if they went after Jeremy Lin, who you've mentioned, that wouldn't be a bad to have a vet point guard just to kind of help run the show. Or they tried to go after Markelle Fultz, but you know, who knows?
Oh, yeah, they've been a team rumored to have interest in him, so that'd be something to consider. Atlanta Hawks.
Wish list. Trae Young starts to hit efficiently from the field.
Yeah, that's a good one. I actually was considering that, him knocking down his three-point shots, but I actually am going to go with what you said for the Magic, and that's kind of getting rid of some of the veterans. You know, that's Jeremy Lin, that's Dwayne Dedman, that's possibly Kent Bazemore. You know, trying to get some more draft assets in there, similar to what I said for the Cavs. Just continue to move that rebuild, get those young pieces, and next thing you know, you're in a good position moving forward.
Are you, just a little tip, are you, because you know how I feel about Trae Young, are you worried at all for the 38-25 shooting splits?
I mean, I'm not necessarily, I never really thought Trae Young was going to be better than Luka or anything like that. So I think he is what he is, and there's some flaws in his game. I think his jumper and stuff will probably come in the following seasons. I think it's also a bad team in Atlanta. My major concern with him would be defensively, just because he's so undersized. What are they going to do with him? That's always going to be a liability on the floor. And it's not like he's undersized in the sense where he's like somebody like Steph Curry, who kind of was able to put on some more muscle and made himself a more respectable defender on and off ball. Like Trae Young is just going to be limited defensively, similar to something like we see with Isaiah Thomas, just because he's that small.
Yeah,
he's not as small as Isaiah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of mass to him. So, you know, he's obviously not a tall guy either. So you're right on with that one, I think.
Yeah,
go ahead. One more question, Nick. Who do you think is more likely to get moved first? Kent Bazemore, Jeremy Lin, or Dwayne Dedman? Because I know all three have had rumors.
Well, I think Jeremy Lin, I would almost think, is a lock to get moved. It would just make a ton of sense. Dwayne Dedman was playing the Nets like 2 weeks ago, and he knocked down a couple threes, and he made a motion to the bench, like, call me. I don't know if that was, like, mentioning, like, the Nets should trade for him. But, I could see both those guys really getting moved. Bazemore is a little bit more complicated because of his contract situation. So I think Lin and Dedman would be in the lead for me.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, especially when your players are calling to get trades on their own. But
yeah, that's interesting.
OKC Thunder.
I think their wish list would be two things. Andre Roberson gets healthy and finally gets back on the court. As we know, the Thunder have the best defense, I believe, in the league still, or their top three. Adding Andre Roberson would only make them better, obviously. Paul George has been MVP level. And the one thing this team desperately needs, as well as Andre Roberson coming back, is just Westbrook to be efficient. You know, he's got the triple-double numbers. He plays aggressive still, but the chucking up three, like five threes a game and shooting, what, 20, under 30%, He doesn't even look that good from like his floater perspective. So for me, it's just him getting his offensive game right and being more efficient, because that's, I mean, this Thunder team could really take off if he starts playing even slightly more efficiently.
Yeah, obviously that's always been a concern of Westbrook, but I will give him credit because with him not being as efficient, he's kind of let Paul George take over a little bit more. And we talked about the season Paul George is having. I think for the Thunder, for me though, 3-point percentage is last in the league. They need to add more shooting, get some more spacing on the floor, and that could really help Westbrook expand his game and become more efficient if he had an open lane. So making some moves for 3-point shooters.
Yeah. Oh, and also, just before we move on, who do you see possibly as them targeting? Do you have anybody in mind?
I mean, they could go from anybody from a wing that can just shoot, or they could go into like an in-between guy, like a KCP. I think it depends on what they're willing to kind of give up and who on their team, you know, has a lot of value around the league. It's not like they have great young players, but they do have picks moving forward that they could always look to move.
Gotcha.
Portland Trailblazers.
I would love for them just to add some bench help. Again, you know, it's one of those teams that they have those two stars in Lillard and McCollum. Nurkic has been really solid this year for them. They've gotten some good help from Jake Layman. Harkless has been okay. I think Aminu is very solid for what he gives them. Seth Curry has been kind of a bust, unfortunately. But I think this is another team that needs bench help. I'm not sure who it is, but this is a team that can always use more offense. They play really good defense. But if Lillard and McCollum, if both those guys have an off night, this team has no chance of winning most games.
Yeah, this is a team that's been caught in the in-between for a while. You know, we've never really thought of them as a Western Conference contender. So I think this is like finally just make the move and go in and try to get that third star. Is it Kevin Love? I'm not sure. But at least bring him in, see what you got. See if this team is, you know, able to compete moving forward. If not, break it up and, you know, do your thing. But I think getting a third piece in there, because there's always been the problem. If CJ and Dame are getting shut down, nobody else is really able to step up. If you get a guy like Love or another, you know, complimentary star, I think it could change the team.
100%.
You could even think about somebody like an Otto Porter. You know, I'm not saying that Washington would move him for sure, but I think someone who they could kind of depend on a little bit more for consistent scoring would be a big boost for them.
Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but I know that prior to Melo going to Houston, that one of the teams that really wanted him was Portland. Do you think Portland would still have any interest in Melo at this point in time?
Yeah, I think they probably would, but I don't think he'd be the guy that I'd be looking for to, you know, take them to that next level. He could definitely be a nice add for the bench, but I don't know how much he's going to push them forward.
Agreed.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
I think the wish list at this point in time would be to fire Tibbs. start fresh. The trade at first for Jimmy Butler went really well. This team looked like they were figuring things out. It kind of has soured pretty quickly. They've only got 3 wins in their last 10 games. Wiggins has not been impressive. I'm still happy with how Towns looks. I think Robert Covington was a fantastic get for them. He just plays defense so well. Derrick Rose, I think, obviously, as we know, has been a revelation this year. But I still think for them, it's probably firing Tibbs just to get a new voice. He still plays these guys a lot of minutes. And another wish list would probably be that Andrew Wiggins just plays somewhat like he used to, or yeah, somewhat of what we expect him to be with all the money he's being paid.
Yeah, for me, it's just, you know, obviously the whole coaching situation, maybe Tibbs gets fired, whatnot, whatever. Can't really control that a ton. But I think wish list wise is something that could really happen. Wiggins kind of find his way, find what is the efficient way for him to be an NBA player, what he can do on the floor to help the team win games. Just kind of his role's been all over the place with the Butler trade and everything along those lines. Denver Nuggets.
Health.
That's yes.
It. Just health.
Full health.
As we've mentioned, they got five guys out right now, 5 key guys, you know, Barton, Millsap. So let's just get everybody on the floor. Isaiah Thomas, who else? Gary Harris. So for me, it's just them getting healthy, because this team, as we mentioned on the last show, despite losing these guys, they're still winning. So you have to expect this team to really take off once everybody's back and healthy.
Yeah, get everybody fully healthy and keep them healthy for the playoff run that they'll have in the future. Utah Jazz.
Add another star. Add somebody. Get Derek Favors off the books. He's being paid $17 million, I think, somewhere around there. Try and flip him. whoever else he got and try and bring in another scorer, somebody who can take the weight off Donovan Mitchell's shoulders. He's obviously been troublesome to start this year with his shooting splits. Just, you know, hasn't been efficient. Sophomore slump, maybe, whatever you will. For me, it's them adding another score because even though the defense isn't as good as it was last year, this team just doesn't have a lot of guys who can score. And on most nights, you know, Donovan Mitchell is your number one option. Your number two option is anywhere from Inglis, Crowder, Rubio, or Gobert. There's not a solid second go-to scorer for this team. And I think in the West, you got to have a solidified number one and number two option.
Yeah, I think definitely adding offense, you know, bottom 10 in offensive rating. Like you mentioned, Donovan Mitchell has really struggled. So getting somebody in there that can consistently create offense for themselves or for others would be big for this team. Houston Rockets.
For me, it's two parts. So one, it's Chris Paul being healthy. Because at the end of the day, this team is only going to go as far as Chris Paul and James Harden can take them. And Chris Paul hasn't really looked that good to start this year, and now he's got the hamstring injury. I'm not sure, Nick, did it come out? Is it torn or is it just pulled? Because I know there was rumors that they thought they might have been torn.
There's, I think Woj said that he could possibly be back in 2 to 3 weeks, and there's other reports saying it could be longer. So I don't think there's like a detailed information on it yet. I think it's more something with a hamstring, especially somebody like Chris Paul who's injured his hamstring a ton of times. It's going to be play it by ear, you know, because you easily can re-injure it on multiple occasions. I think they'll kind of play it safe because they want him for the playoff run more so than for the regular season.
Yeah, and it seems – I'm not positive what hamstring it is, but I'm pretty sure it's always his left one that is the issue. I think that's the same one he pulled in the playoffs last year. And even the same one he pulled against the Spurs when he was at the Clippers a couple of years ago.
Sense. It's pretty typical to re-injure the same one. It's just like you think about it. It's just like a elastic band that just gets really tight and pulled on, and then just all types of things can happen.
Right. So for me, it'd be him being healthy, and then, you know, this is still another team, even though they're playing better as of late because James Harden is playing MVP level again. I still think they need to add a piece. I think a Ken Bazemore could do them well, a guy who could do a little bit of everything. Despite his three-point shooting numbers being down, I think in this offense he could probably get that up a little bit just because of the looks he'll receive. But they definitely need to add some sort of wing help because they're still missing Trevor Ariza. Even though I saw some crazy take about Trevor Ariza being the piece that makes teams contenders, and I wouldn't go that far. He's a pretty significant piece. He was a pretty significant piece of this Rockets team, but I don't think – he's the guy that puts you into contender status.
Yeah, he's definitely like an adding piece, you know, like a sprinkle on top that kind of gives you a little bit of an edge. And he's like a glue guy because he's known to be good in the locker room. But I wouldn't, you know, put it that far. I think, like you said, help on the wing, you know, offensively, defensively, somebody can knock down the three ball, give you at least okay defense where they're not a negative. And then I think Eric Gordon, you know, finding his rhythm and getting back into the flow that he was playing the last few seasons, because he's been off from a hot and cold to whatever you expect from him night to night.
Question for you, because I'll say my perspective first. I think Eric Gordon should be moved. How do you feel about Eric Gordon?
I think in the right trade, it wouldn't make sense if it meant for them getting somebody else, you know, a very good player, because I think Gordon is really good, but he's mentioned, we talked about on the show before, not being happy, not having fun out there. So finding the right situation for someone to come in and for the situation for him to go somewhere.
Yeah, if he turns it around, that's fine, but I agree. I don't even know what his value would be at this point in time.
He's very hard to gauge because he's just been like off the bench and things, but on other teams, he could definitely start and have a really big impact. I mean, it's hard to say because he's been so hot and cold from season to season. This hasn't been, you know, just with the Rockets. It's kind of been his whole career type of thing.
Yeah.
San Antonio Spurs, though.
This one was really tough for me to figure out. I think for me personally, it would just be continuing to play hard and continuing to play Spurs-like basketball. Obviously, it was like a month ago, probably before this 10-game stretch, and they've won 7 of the last 10. They were as far down as like 12 in the West, and it kind of looked like that this was going to fall apart. This wasn't really working out. So for me, I think it's just them playing Spurs basketball. If they want to sneak into the playoffs, if they want to go for a playoff spot, go ahead. I think ideally, too, I would look at moving LaMarcus Aldridge, who is an expiring. I'm not sure there's a big market for LaMarcus Aldridge. But if I'm the Spurs, you know, he's 34. Do I really want to re-sign him going forward? You know, this team also has a lot of guys who like to work in the mid-range, not necessarily the three-point line. So I would look to just – I know Pop also is an anti three-point guy. He doesn't like the fact that 3 points have taken over the league. And this Spurs team still kind of goes against the grain.
Which is kind of like hypocritical if you really think about it, because like the Spurs teams, like early on, were like some of the teams that really focused on ball movement and shooting 3-point shots a lot. Now it's just everyone else is doing it at an excessive rate.
Yeah, I think he's more so like, if I had to guess, I don't know what Popovich actually thinks. I'm sure that he probably doesn't like the fact that, like, say you're on a 2-on-1 fast break or a 3-on-1 fast break or whatever, the guys are looking for the 3-point shot instead of going to the basket for the lay-in. Because, like, I know that shit drives me crazy, and I'm sure that's the type of stuff that annoys him, is not going for necessarily the highest percentage shot, but going for the shot that's worth the most.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the way of the NBA. It doesn't really bother me as much. I can understand it. I mean, I think in certain situations where you need the points, you go for the layup. But in other situations, you're like, you get the open shot. It's a lot easier to get the open look where there is a possibility of the guy, you know, really good defender breaking it up around the rim. But that's for another day. I think for me, for the Spurs, talking about fast breaks, just like a spark of athleticism. You know, you mentioned some of the older guys like LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, getting somebody in there that can really provide a spark. So maybe that's bringing in somebody like Lonnie Walker, someone to give you some nice boost to the team, because I know they're very high in him before the injury. That'd be something to consider. But I think they just need some type of spark for the team to get them going.
I would also just throw in, even though I know they've gotten good point guard usage out of Brian Forbes, or I think Brian Forbes is the guy. He's more of a two guard. Is he running the point for them? I think he is running the point for them, though. It would be to add a point guard. I know DeJounte Murray is probably the guy they want going forward. But I don't know if we're even sold on him being the point guard of the future for them. So maybe they looked at a point guard who can actually help them get some sets running.
Yeah, I think Murray's probably their guy, but I wouldn't mind them getting somebody a short-term fix just to clean it up at the moment. Memphis Grizzlies.
It's really funny how they've come back to earth, isn't it? The 5 in a row losses. And Marc Gasol has been terrible after his really hot start. I think for me, and I know Grizzly fans may not agree, my wish list would be to move off Marc Gasol and or Mike Conley. I'm sorry, I still
they think, hate you right now.
Yeah, I understand the hope of 50 games. I was actually worried that they might actually get 50 games. Like, there was a stretch in time where I was like, damn, this team may actually get 50 wins. Back to the fact that they're not going to get 50 wins. I just think this is a flawed team. Whatever happened in that trade debacle that failed, they probably could have used Kelly Oubre Jr. desperately just for some wing help. Chandler Parsons' contract, they probably would love to move that. You're not going to, though. So for me, I think it's for the Grizzlies, start to rebuild. You're not playing for anything. Why are you playing for an 8 seed?
Yeah, I think it's definitely an interesting situation. I don't think they'll go the rebuild route unless like it drastically gets worse. I know Brendan Smart at OTG wrote an article about Dylan Brooks being like a big issue with him being out since they don't have depth in that area. You mentioned the Oubre trade. They were able to get him in. That would have definitely helped. But I think they really do like Dylan Brooks, and getting him back should help. So fully healthy or getting some other wing help in there would be big for the team. New Orleans Pelicans.
Be scared of the Grinch, which is LeBron James. I think for them, it would be just kind of getting healthy, but maybe adding another piece. I'm not sure who the piece is. This is another team.
They're always very active.
Yeah, I think Terry Rozier could be a nice piece for them, depending on what they think about Elfrid Payton at the point guard. And they could also, another team that could use some wing shooting. You know, Otto Porter Jr. has been a name that we've mentioned numerous times. I think KCP could also be a solid fit, a 3-and-D guy for them. I don't really like the thought of Kent Bazemore, but I think KCP would probably be like the cheaper option for them. But for me, it's adding some health or adding some depth and then staying healthy.
Yeah, it's definitely, for me, just getting into the playoffs. That means making a trade, getting healthy, whatever it is. I think you need to get in the playoffs to help your to help you convince Anthony Davis to stay in New Orleans. If you don't, then he's not going to want to sign that extension. It's just going to be tough. You're a player like him. He cares about his legacy. Not getting in the playoffs, not having an opportunity to win a championship, obviously hurts him. Dallas Mavericks.
Make the playoffs. That's the wish list. Make the playoffs. Luka Doncic wins Rookie of the Year. And you kind of figure out who your core pieces are next to Luka Doncic going forward. Is Harrison Barnes really a part of the future or not? I think he is, quite frankly. I think he's actually played really well this year. Maybe moving a Wesley Matthews. But I think for them, it's make the playoffs, get back in there for the first time in, I don't know, what has it been, 3-4 years? So for me, it'd be get the playoffs.
Yeah, I think similar to you, I have getting in the playoffs, but I think they probably need to add a piece or two to get there. Not necessarily big pieces, but just some role guys or some solid players in that team. So I think that's what you're looking for. Golden State Warriors.
Healthy. It's all about health for me, for them. The wish list is to stay healthy. And actually, I mean, I guess you can add this to the wish list would be do everything you can to ensure Kevin Durant resigns, or that you can figure out a way to keep Kevin Durant. Because at the end of the day, if you have Curry and Durant, you're competing for a title every year. No question about it.
Yeah, I think obviously health is, a no-brainer, but I got motivation. They just don't seem very
motivated. That's a good one.
Yeah, they don't seem very motivated this season to play. Obviously, when the playoffs come, that'll change, but you don't want to necessarily flip the switch. We know they can, but, a team in the Western Conference could always pop off. Maybe it's the Lakers making a big trade or something like that. So I think just getting everything in sync and playing hard every night.
I really think when DeMarcus Cousins comes back, who now is playing in scrimmages and is close to being back.
The clip against one-on-one with Kevin Durant dunking on him?
Yeah, exactly. I think, actually, believe it or not, I think DeMarcus Cousins will put new life into this Warriors team, kind of like how Durant did his first year there. I don't know. Bringing in a guy who hasn't won anything, I think that motivates the guys who have won, especially because I think everything I've read, I mean, they love DeMarcus Cousins. The person, they say he's a little bit hot-tempered at times. I don't know if you heard the Kevin Durant interview with Bill Simmons the other day on his podcast, but he spoke about how Cousins is, funny. He gets a bad rep by the media, but he's a tremendous guy who maybe has a short temper. But I think his energy, when he comes back, will give this Warriors team some new life, and I think it will spark some more motivation that you mentioned they've been lacking.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think you almost forget about DeMarcus Cousins because you haven't seen him play in so long, and he's on the Warriors, so it's not like there's a major urge and the team's like really missing his talents out there because they're already so good, but he'll definitely give him a nice boost. Talking Lakers, what about them?
Got to add another piece. I don't know. Let me back up. The wish list is Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard. Let's be realistic. The big wish list is a star. But I think as of the right now, it's adding a piece, getting out from underneath KCP, who LeBron kind of talked about 2 weeks ago in a sideline report, and it pretty much sounded like he was already gone. Like KCP wasn't even on the team anymore, basically. So I think it's moving KCP, getting some more talent, and then kind of what we mentioned for some of the other teams with some young talent, figuring out, who's going to be a part of this team going forward and who you can move away from and feel comfortable getting rid of. Is it Kyle Kuzma? Is it Brandon Ingram? Is it Lonzo Ball? Josh Hart? What's his name? Zubac? I was right the first time. Wow, lucky.
Yeah.
Seeing which of these guys you want to keep going forward, who you can be okay with getting rid of to bring in some more now ready talent.
Do you think they need to do that this season, or do you think they could wait to the off season?
They could. They very well could wait till next off season. It's not like this. There is not like a rush, but at the same time, there is a rush because LeBron James is still playing this great in year 16, and I just I don't want to be a downer, but this is going to come to an end. I mean, there's going to be a point in time, unless he's the first ever 4-year-old just killing people out there. But I got to think that this is eventually going to start coming back down to earth. And I know that they got the 4-year window and they're not really looking for this year because we know what the Warriors have. But this Lakers team is a 5 seed, and they could be a 3 seed at best, maybe even a 2 seed. They're only 2 games out of first, or 3 games, the 3 games in the loss column. So I think, you don't have to do it now, but I think if you want your best chance to win, it's going to be when LeBron's still at his best, which is right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a great point. You don't want to waste an opportunity having LeBron and then maybe the Warriors, like we talked about, not being super motivated, take advantage of getting a high seed, maybe home court, Staples Center will be lit. But talking about the other team that plays there, the Los Angeles Clippers.
Keep doing what you're doing. The Christmas list is to play with this kind of intensity, winning these types of games. They had 2 win streak, but 4-6 in their last 10. But this team has shown that they're really possibly just a star away from being a real threat in the West again. I mean, you know, they're a four seed in the West with no star. Tobias Harris has been tremendous. Lou Williams has had a down year, and they're still flourishing. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has gotten high praise from a lot of vets, possibly even a steal of the draft in many ways. I think he's going to be really solid for them going forward. Boban has the best PER in NBA history, better than Jordan LeBron. So he's obviously the GOAT. So for me, I think it's just playing the same way you've been playing to attract a Kawhi Leonard or an Anthony Davis or whatever their big plan is, whoever they want to bring in or try and go after.
Yeah, I think you've pretty much nailed it. Keep playing the way you are and hoping that all the big free agents are watching them this year. Make sure you send them some free league pass or some videos of the play, especially somebody like Montrezl Harrell. I think everybody loved Sacramento Kings.
I just want to say one more thing about the Clippers. They're probably also wishing that they can get Avery Bradley off the team as quickly as possible because he forgot how to play basketball.
See, there's been a little debate online between like Clippers and NBA fans. Clipper fans don't necessarily feel as angry about it because he's playing his role. Like, he's not necessarily putting up points or doing anything great, but he's out there playing defense and just doing his thing. I don't think they hate him as much as some of the NBA fans think they do, but obviously not a great player at this point right now. He's really fallen off since Boston.
Yeah, which is just crazy because I thought he was becoming a really solid, like, number two, number three option. And that kind of fell apart.
He looks like a number two or three option off the bench. But yeah. Sacramento Kings.
I mean, they're playing with house money. I mean, they don't have a draft pick. They got De'Aaron Fox popping off. So for my wish list for them would probably be that they remain an eight seed in the West and they make the playoffs. That's probably the wish list. Just some kind of hope for Sacramento. It's been known as basketball hell. They've gone through numerous head coaches. They've traded away DeMarcus Cousins, you know, last year, and everyone nearly lost their minds, or the year before, right?
Yeah, year before, yeah.
God, it was so long ago already. Lord have mercy. But, yeah, you know, this is a franchise and a fan base, I think, that really just needs to get into the playoffs just so everyone can have some more faith. They've been playing great, you know, 17-15 at this point. Heal looks like a steady piece for the future. Fox, as we've mentioned. Bogdanovich, he is a lights out scorer. They beat the Pacers a couple weeks ago, and I was blown away by how good the other Bogdanovich in the NBA was. So for me, I think it's just playing these young guys hard and keep winning.
Which Bogdanovich do you like better? Which one do you think is better?
The Kings one.
Yeah.
He's also younger.
Yeah, he has more all around game where Boyan, they both, their names are almost, which is kind of crazy. I remember when the Nets first got the Pacer Bogdanovich, and it was like, wow, like making sure you type the name in correctly because the other guy could easily pop up. I'm sure NBA websites have got it confused for a while. But for me, the Kings, just keeping the De'Aaron Fox on the road he's on, you know, establishing himself as one of the better point guards in the NBA, turning himself into an all-star type player. And like you said, no one expects him to be at this point. You know, some people probably thought they'd get 17 wins on the season. So being at this point in the year, having a chance to make the playoffs is just huge. So just keep fighting. Don't mess it up. Don't pull any like King stunts we've seen in the past. Phoenix Suns.
Find a point guard. I think that's top of the wish list. You've mentioned Jeremy Lin. I'm growing to that. I think Terry Rozier would be another guy. You got to have a point guard. I don't like Devin Booker as a point guard. Let's not do this. Let's just let him be the scorer that he's meant to be. I think he can play make to a degree, but I don't think you want him as your primary ball handler and playmaker. I don't think it works. So for me, it'd be just letting Ayton and Booker grow and then finding a point guard. The Suns are a dumpster fire still.
Yeah, 29th in turnover percentage. So you obviously want to clean that up, and having a solid point guard, any form, young, old, you know, whatever it is, short term, long term, bring somebody in the season, I think will help the guys develop. I don't mind Booker developing his game as a playmaker and has like a secondary point guard, but I think you're right. You don't want him as your primary guy initiating the offense. He benefits so much from coming off screens, being such a great shooter. So you want someone to set him up to have easier success.
Yeah, I think this time, I want to just further back up my statement. I think this time period for him as a playmaker has been beneficial. Like, I think this is good for him that he has to learn to play and make for others and get others involved. I just don't think long-term for any success the Suns want to have that's going to be the way to go.
Yeah, it's not his best role moving forward. Now, Corey, NBA general wish list for you. Anything you want to see happen, any matchups you want to see playoff-wise, players you want to see traded?
I would love to see a Pacers-Hornets playoff matchup, because then I know the Pacers advance to round two.
I was wondering where you're going with that. I was like, why?
What else do I got? A lot of mine's Pacer-related, but I would also like the Pacers, as we mentioned, to make a move. I would love, would absolutely love to see Bradley Beal in a Lakers uniform. I know we didn't mention that just now in the wish list, but I would love to see somehow LeBron James getting a dynamic three-point shooter who he can, you know, like a Ray Allen, because he got Ray Allen a couple years too late. But I think those are the kind of guys that would really flourish around. Even Kyle Korver, you know, he made a 38-year-old Kyle Korver look really freaking good, and a Pacer killer, may I add. so I think adding some kind of three-point shooter to the Lakers would be ideal. Give me a second. What do you got? Let's go back and forth. What do you got?
All right. I like to see Washington blow it up. I think that's what I'm looking for. I think that team has already hit their peak. They're not going to do anything great. They're not going to be able to add any stars moving forward with the contract situation. Just blow it up, add these stars to other teams around the league, you know, make maybe some more super teams, give some of these bad teams some hope moving forward. Let's see, what else would I like to see? I think I've grown to the fact that I want to see a Laker-Golden State Western Conference final. That's just something that really interests me. And obviously the Lakers are a little bit more impressive than I thought they'd be. I think East-wise, you know, at first I really wanted Boston and Toronto, but I'm starting to lean towards Toronto and Milwaukee being a really good Eastern Conference final. I always love to see a great trade deadline where a lot of big names are moved. I'm hoping we see a couple stars moved. Then obviously in my own personal interests, I want Caris LeVert to get back 100% healthy and the Nets to make the playoffs.
that's solid. I also would like to say that I definitely want to see the Mavericks in the playoffs.
Luka's been amazing.
Yeah, and I would love just to see him in – probably only be a four-game series, depending on who they match up with. But I would love just to see him on that stage, getting more global attention. And also, my last wish list would be that the Memphis Grizzlies blow it up. I'm over it. I'm officially over it. I think they're solid. I think, actually, it would be more of a service to a guy like Mike Conley if he was to be moved on a team that he could actually probably be better utilized.
What team do you wish, you know, that you hope doesn't make the playoffs? Like, that you're just sick of seeing the playoffs. They're already going to lose. They're just kind of a waste of being in there.
Miami Heat. Miami Heat are the first team to come to mind. Sorry, Jorge. you know, you can roast me all you want, I guess. And aside from that, like, I'm looking at the West teams. You know, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't be sad to miss the – if the Timberwolves did, in fact, miss the playoffs again this year after making it last year. I don't know. Anything that gets Tibbs fired, I'm ready for some change in Minnesota as well.
Yeah, someone unlocking Karl Anthony Towns. I don't want to say I'm sick of watching them, but I think Portland not being the playoffs, I'd rather see another exciting team because they were just so lackluster last year. I agree with Miami. I mean, I like as good as Kemba's been, like Charlotte in the playoffs doesn't really interest me that much either.
That and actually, that's another thing that personally I wish for is that Kemba Walker gets moved. Like I know there's no. There's nothing that supports that he's going to get moved. He wants to be there. He's been open about it. They want to keep him, so I understand. But I personally think Kemba Walker would be so much better in almost any other situation. Throw him in Utah. That team's a way better. Throw him in New Orleans. Team's way better. You throw him on the Pacers. Pacers are way better. I think there's a lot of teams that are lacking that kind of point guard, and Charlotte just makes all the wrong moves to add talent around him.
Yeah, and I'll show my cynical side for a bit right here, and I hope that things don't work out on Boston. they have too much of the Nets picks, and all of that trash talking for the last few years is coming back to bite them in the karma aspect. But that's enough for me. Anything else from you, Corey?
No, but I'll ask you this last question. How much would you want a Nets-Celtics playoff matchup?
Well, I mean, I'm being realistic here. I would want it in a couple of years when the Nets are more established. the Boston would still beat them this year. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind it if the Nets could squeeze out a win or two because it would still be pretty impressive that they're already in the playoffs so they do make it this year considering, you know, what happened with that trade with Boston and all the players there right now. I just want to bring something up. If you look back at, like, all of the draft picks traded and the players the Nets drafted in that years, like it hasn't been as substantially as bad as you would think. You know, last year with Jason Tatum and Jaren Allen, it's probably like a pretty big difference. But before that, like I think it was Caris LeVert and Jaylen Brown. like there's really not a huge difference. I mean, I personally would take Caris LeVert right now because I think he brings more to your team overall, and Jaylen Brown's really struggling, but we'd have to see him in another situation.
Yeah, I mean, I would say on those two fronts, Caris LeVert definitely over Jaylen Brown. I think he's more complete. I mean, and obviously the roles are different. You know, Jaylen Brown's been always like second fiddle. Caris LeVert this year was the man. And then Jared Allen, yeah, I mean, Tatum's definitely way better. But Jared Allen, I think you would agree that he's going to be in the league probably for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Jared Allen doesn't have potential to be, you know, a top 10 center. And there's been talk about even maybe top five, depending on how he adds to his game. Also extremely young, only 20 years old. So
yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of upside there. So, I mean, the trade, it definitely sucked. But I think in some aspects for the Nets, if you look at it, they wouldn't have ended up with Kenny Atkinson and Sean Marks, and they wouldn't be where they're at right now. So in some ways, it actually ended up being a positive. Any wish lists that you're hoping that you get for Christmas NBA related?
On actual Christmas?
Yeah, any gifts that you're hoping that you land?
I'm not getting anything, because I know. I think I'm getting socks. I got a flashlight a couple of years ago, so maybe I get some batteries for the flashlight. I'm not getting anything special, but I would love if I had somehow gotten a Pacers hoodie. For some reason, I don't have, like, I have a Paul George jersey and some Pacer t-shirts, but I have no Pacers winter attire. So that'd probably be my wish list.
That's what you need to add. Definitely always check out those after holiday sales. I'm hoping maybe there's a possibility someone bought me a Caris LeVert jersey. Maybe. I'm jersey cursed. I also bought myself a Christmas gift, and it was a nice Nike Nets dry fit tee for the gym. Got that on clearance, but maybe a couple other things, you never know.
Nice. But I hope if you get Caris LeVert's jersey that he doesn't get traded.
I feel pretty confident that the most. Yeah, I feel like that's the most confident that I'll feel in the player not getting traded. You know, the other names, it was a risk getting them, and I didn't always pick them out. You know, the Jason Kidd jersey, it was a gift. You know, there was already trade rumors at that time. Brook Lopez, he was mentioned in trade rumors like 10 years. So it's not like there was any safe bet getting him. Same thing, Devin Harris, when I got that jersey, you know, I had it for about a year, and he ended up being a Darren Williams trade, which at the time I thought was a really good trade, but we know how that went.
the Brook Lopez jersey is still good, though, because he's still a franchise leader. So at least that one you can, you know, it doesn't hurt.
When he retires, I'll definitely be sure to rock it a lot. I won't rock it now, but when he retires, I'll be pretty confident and happy about it. Obviously, I've always loved Brooke. But that's enough about me. As always, Corey, pleasure talking hoops with you. As always, thank you, everybody, for listening. Check us out, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads. Have a happy holiday.